National Treasure, or 国家宝藏, a variety TV show, and if national treasures could talk, or in Chinese, 如果国宝可以说话, and 100 episode documentary are not only receiving critical acclaim, but lots of buzz on Chinese social media. Both programs are being praised for being entertaining and educational at the same time. Well, that's
just like Roundtable.
Yes.
Yes.That is a similarity that, yes, I realize is absolutely true. Yeah, so what is this variety show National Treasure about? Let's go with this one first.
Yes, let's first take a look at that. What is the structure of this show? Actually, this show is aiming at like bringing alive to national treasure. So the show has already collected 27 pieces of cultural relics from 9 museums across China, including the Palace Museum, Shanghai Museum, Shanxi History Museum, Hubei Provincial Museum, and Liaoning Provincial Museum. And also in each episode, they will showcase like 3 artifacts and each presented by a celebrity and an expert who acts like a national treasure keeper.
Has Chris Wu done this yet?
No, they're all famous actors.
We're waiting for Chris Wu.
Yeah, yeah. And like the producer have also like invited like 27 actors and along with 27 ordinary people to be the guardians of the relics. And they are going to tell the previous and present life stories of the relics and the celebrity guardian. They will stage a short play, a mini drama on the stage and about the origins of each relics. And the other guardians, they will tell their own stories, which is in relation to these cultural relics. And we can check out like how it's popular among the audience. And just like after airing just one episode, this show has received a score of 9.3 to 9.5 points on Douban.com.
Whoa!
Do you know what is Douban.com?
It's like a site for rating shows, right?
Yes, and also like in the most popular online like streaming website called Bilibili.com, which is really favored by the young generation, and they have already like gained a lot of like good comments on the bullet points.
So Huang Shen, I haven't seen this, but Huang Shen has seen this, right?
Yeah, yeah.
What do you think? Do you think the rating is kind of justified?
Yes, it's really worth that like rating because it's so I think it break my mind, like, because like, in the past we think all the shows about cultural relics is just like documentary stuff. They teach you and they have informed you some stories, but actually this one invite you to be involved into this story and shorten the distance between you, we ordinary people, with the cultural relics with like a thousands of years histories.
Yeah, I think that's really amazing and a thing that can be achieved, because when you think about cultural relics, I'm sorry to say this, to admit this, these
don't
two words already kind of put me to sleep.
Like, oh my god, you're so bad.
No, I am very cultured and I like relics, but if you put those two together, it's just, it doesn't excite you. But once you look at the raving reviews that's been posted on Bilibili.com, just like Huang Shen has mentioned earlier, I think that's really an important indicator to which shows that the younger generation, people born in the millennium or the 1990s, 1980s, they're really enjoying this show. So that is quite an achievement to get young people interested in old stuff, right?
Absolutely. Not just that, but anybody, you know, this is a really exciting way to tell a story of history, right? And China has such a huge history, so a plethora of stories. I mean, we're tired of hearing about Spider-Man and every day he fights crime or these superheroes. It seems like genres are just getting beaten up to death, right? Superheroes, this, that, two broke girls, blah, 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 you know? Nerds living in an apartment. That's the Big Bang Theory. But anyways, you know, we've kind of done it all. This entertainment stuff has saturated our lives, but now we're kind of watching stuff about history, stories, things that happen, and all of a sudden we're finding that we're really immersed in it. But one thing that really helps you get immersed into a story is the voice of Morgan Freeman. When he talks about anything, he could talk about going to the bathroom and you will think it's the greatest story ever told. Because, you know, that's something that's so powerful is narration, all right? Somebody that can really tell a story, know when to stop, know how to use their voice, these kind of things. And I guess National Treasures is doing that pretty well, okay? So they have some famous hosts, celebrities, actors, as Huang Shen had said. But, yeah, you know, Chris Wu, he's acting these days, so maybe we will see him in that role.
Yeah, we'll wait and see.
I hope so.
Yes.
Anyways, let's talk a little bit about some examples, some cuts from this show, and give people kind of an idea of what's going on here. So, you know, I guess they had a segment called A Panorama of Rivers and Mountains. It's a well-known Chinese painting now housed in the Palace Museum. Actor Li Chen plays Emperor Huizong of the Northern Song Dynasty. That's 960 to 1127 AD. Historical records show Wang Shimeng, the man behind the painting, was a student at the Royal Painting Academy who failed to produce satisfactory work. But his potential was discovered by this emperor. Under the emperor's tutelage, the 18-year-old budding genius completed this milestone in Chinese fine art history within half a year. So this is a kind of a timeless story that we see in many movies and stuff. Somebody's down on themselves. You know, they're going through this traditional system, but they're actually a genius and they can shine, but nobody's unlocking them. But this happened in history, and not just in history, with an emperor and a guy that wrote this or drew this painting that we can see in the Palace Museum. So these things are real. It's not just a story, right? It's not just Goodwill Hunting. It is something that is actually hanging in a museum and actually happened. So Yu Lei, director of the show, described the episodes as similar to docudramas with elements such as dialogue that are fictionalized while the storylines are based on historical information. These cultural relics are like aged people. They have so much to tell us. So this is really cool because I'm looking at this and I'm seeing an amazing story. And it makes history more than just a name and a time period, you know? When we learn history in class from a textbook, so-and-so existed at this time and did this. And you're just like, you can't remember that for the life of you, and you beat yourself up. Nobody remembers just a name, a time, and then what happened. But if you can go into this story, that's where maybe we can learn something. Wow, I'll know all about the panorama of rivers and mountains because maybe I got the story around it. And we speak in stories. We are people. We personify with stuff. That's why movies become such big blockbusters when they really tug at our strings. So now we see that cultural relics are being told in the form of a story. And no surprise, this National Treasures is getting high ratings.
And that painting is called 千里江山图 in Chinese.
You said it so well.
Thank you. Yes. When I first saw it, I remember feeling so shaken and you feel so in awe because I was simply astounded.
It's powerful.
Yes, and by how big, how lengthy it is, and also the history behind it, and it really just makes you pause and think. So what is the cultural relic that made you sort of pause and think, Huang Shen?
Yeah, I like the 慈母, the mother of porcelains. So I think this is another reason, like, when we talk about why they can go viral and attract so many, like, young, like, audiences, because it introduce some comedy inside this, like, entertainment show. For example, the one I want to introduce is the 慈母, because it's so funny, that stage play. Because they also invite the very famous and popular Chinese actor Wang Kai to play the Emperor Qianlong. And in this story, like, we get a better understanding of, like, Qianlong's taste.
And who he was.
Yes, because, like, we always, like, make fun of Emperor Qianlong about his, like, massive stamps behavior. Do you know what is that?
What it's does
like
that
a,
mean?
It's like a seal? It's like a signature of ancient times.
We call it Gai Zhang Kuang Mo. It's like, because whenever, like, he saw a painting and a calligraphy he really loved, he will left some comments on it or his own interpretation on this painting. But someone believe it may ruin those, like, cultural relics.
Yeah, I mean, it is pretty funny. You imagine somebody admiring a painting, than just pulling out a huge stamp and right on the painting and kind of maybe ruining it. Being like, I like this, but, you know, maybe it needs to be bigger. Because he sounds like he was a fan of bigger things, like stamps.
Yes.
His own seal. I mean, everybody knew that. And that's really interesting. And when you think about the personality of Emperor Qianlong, that is a name that we read in history books and learn that he was one of the greatest emperors that ever lived, I suppose. But thinking of him as sort of this rowdy kid in a way. That's his personality, I feel. He had to show that, oh, I own this and that, and I have good taste that I want to show and leave a mark on this and
cultured
that.
Cultured.
Yeah.
At his time, yeah.
And he could write lots and lots and lots of poems that received pretty poor reviews hundreds of years after, okay. At the time,
critics were tough back then too, huh?
Well, I think they become tougher later on, So once you get to know sort of the blood and flesh of these historical figures and all these arts and crafts, I think it just makes the whole thing a lot more interesting and engaging. And like it seems like there is this shortened distance between these very old cultural relics and the audience. But why do you think this show is going viral? Because it's popular, all right, maybe among certain audience, but for it to go viral, it means that the younger generation is interested in it, and then the whole society is talking about this show.
Yeah, I think it's because like it makes us feel like it's not history. It's actually kind of history, but it brings a history to your daily life. And also, you can see the other side of history. We can still use like the Emperor Qianlong's like story as example. Like we always like criticize about his taste, but actually in that show, he defend himself. Like why he liked those kind of like glamorous things, because he want, for example, the Cimu, it has combined like 17 like porcelain producing techniques and skills, but he some like in his dream, like the calligraphy Wang Xizhi and a painter Huang Gongwang, and also the Emperor Yongzheng, his dad, show up in the dream and criticizing him about his poor taste, but he defended himself like, I'm just want to show the later generation how amazing are the prosperity of the Qing dynasty. And I want to use this like cultural relics to demonstrate the amazing craftsmanship of the people in Jingdezhen in making the porcelain. So I think like it's bring the history to us.
Yeah, I mean, also too, to kind of bounce off what you said, Lo Jing, director of museums at the State Administration of Cultural Heritage, said this attempt is like cooperation between national teams of the media and protectors of cultural relics. So basically exactly what you said. We have actors, we have the media playing the roles of Qianlong and defending maybe certain things defending cultural relics in a way that's making it interesting. People are watching. They want to see how this actor portrays this person and how he defends what he did in the past, right? But then on top of that, maybe a deeper level into the understanding of what's happening in national treasures is, I think Yan Jingming says it well, the vice chairman of the China Writers Association, who said national treasure is highly praised because of its mixture of traditional and modern culture. So we see a mixture of media and the museum, cultural relics and TV shows we watch. But it's more than that too. It's stories, but stories that are taking elements from so long ago, but making it into a story, an adaptation in a certain way that's relevant to us, you know? Maybe you can understand that probably, right? Chinese spoken back then was very different. I know English spoken back in its beginnings was very different from what we're speaking right now. It'd be hard to understand them. But we can still bring those stories that were written at those times and make them relevant to us now. This is, in a way, how this is happening. The very old and traditional stories that were kind of maybe forgotten with time being brought back with a mixture of modern day things like lighting and music and stage arrangement, which I guess has given people quite a bit of surprise, as social media users have kind of said, this is amazing how they've set up the stage. Things like this, bringing the modern world into this storytelling, as well as with our actors and whatnot.
Yeah, I think you sum it up really well, Ryan. And when I look at this initially, I thought that these cultural relics that's been handpicked to be presented on this show, they are the signature items that every Chinese person should probably know. And I thought, yeah, these old cultural relics would speak for themselves. But when you don't have the archaeology knowledge, and you don't have the history known to beforehand, then you don't know the colorful past of the cultural relics. So I think it's finding the right voice to present the story, and maybe with the modern interpretation, like Ryan has just said, have made it all interesting for people. And that is very refreshing, because these days when you watch TV, it's so easy to get entertainment, but it's hard to actually learn something. And I suppose this is the part that people are very happy to see in this program. And this is not the only one right now. There's also another documentary that's receiving a lot of praise at the same time. 如果国宝会说话, If National Treasures Can Speak. I think the very beginning of it is quite interesting. You get this little message thing called ding. You have a message from a national treasure that's mimicking the WeChat message we get. So these things, it's all very new to a new twist to an old cultural relics that's making people very interested in the old things that's being presented here. Yes, so what's...
But this is not the first time, Hyung, that CCTV has kind of gone down this road of producing something from the past with a modern flavor. I guess we have programs like the Chinese Poetry Competition and Reader. Now, Huangshen, can you tell us a little bit about those, being our in-house entertainment guru?
Oh, yeah. It's actually this, like, 10-episode show. Like, it will, with themes to enjoy both, like, classical Chinese poems and the beauty of life. So, in the show, the poems, they can be adapted into songs or depicted through artistic pictures. And any contestant who can memorize the largest number of poems, they may not necessarily be the final winner, while the fast reaction and usage of poems matter a lot more in the competition. It means like it's based on your interpretation, your understanding of the poem, and how can you make the poem into a more lively version to attract more like listeners or audience.
Yeah, looking at this Readers as well, the weekly talk show that has been produced and hosted by renowned TV personality Dong Qing. It is inviting people from all walks of life to read aloud excerpts of poems, essays, and books they like or wrote. I think that's really interesting, because especially if they're reading out something that's ancient, maybe like there's this guy that did construction a long, long time ago, and then all of a sudden, you know, this guy nobody expects to love poetry, who's doing construction in the modern day, reads this and finds the feelings that are so relatable to him, and is able to convey this man's message, this man's voice and how he wrote it that maybe nobody else understands. And, you know, there's something about poems, too. If you go to these spoken word nights and whatnot, sometimes you just get somebody that comes up, you know. They're not doing it for the glory. They're coming up because they found something in this poem, right? And it's so powerful when they read it. And it blows you away. So I really like also kind of the idea behind Readers as well.
So do we see a sudden interest in cultural shows, in these products that we consume on TV? Or or what's going on here?
I think it's all started from the 我在故宫修文物 the Masters in the Forbidden City. I think from that documentary, people started to, it's like ignite their desire to learn about more about Chinese cultural relics. And I think the reason why this show, the National Treasures, can be so popular because it's not only reveal the most famous like cultural relics to you, but also some lesser known treasures to you. So that's really interesting for me.
Yeah, I think this is, internet users are hailing these kind of programs as a breath of fresh air. I think that's cool because I think for so long, educational programs or programs of the beta period for like National Treasure were just kind of boring facts being read out with a great voice. And sometimes documentaries have done that 1,000 times. Morgan Freeman can still make it interesting. But after X amount of documentaries, you're like, ugh, you know, it becomes the same thing. So it's nice to see a mix between entertainment, these stars we love, playing roles of things that have to do with cultural relics, and us finding them interesting and getting high ratings. I mean, it was a little scary to think that maybe our future was being defined by media consumption of things just like Running Man, you know? There's nothing super redeeming about that. It's kind of goofy. You know, and I think this speaks volumes too, because you have to probably have certain actors do this. Good actors, right? Like in the US, if we did a National Treasures, nobody would want to see Kim Kardashian talking about the Declaration of Independence was like super important for this country. And you know, you have to really know your role. And I think these actors do it well.
Yes, I think so too. And certainly there is an appetite for cultural programs and educational programs, but you need to do it right. And once you do, the audience just eat it up.